Grace, mercy, and peace are yours through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the sure hope that is ever before us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to this ending time of the season of Lent, we count up the 40 days. Of course, today is not one of those days, because it's a Sunday. We hear these words from a very familiar text from John chapter 11, right at the end of our reading for today, and it says, "So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death." They, meaning the scribes and the Pharisees, the power brokers in Israel at that time. But the setting in which this happens is a setting that's very much a setting of our life. See, Jesus in his earthly life had some friends, right? We all want to have friends, I would hope. And sometimes we've got pretty close friends, and then we've got our friends on kind of the fringe, and our friends that we don't even know they're our friends. That's all of us, by the way, because of our greatest friend, Jesus. He makes us brothers and sisters in Christ, and that doesn't mean we always see everything the same way, does it? But God challenges us to love one another, as we say to our kids in school this year, love one another as I have loved you, meaning Jesus. So he's got this close set of friends, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And word comes down that Lazarus was pretty sick. Now, if we hear one of our friends is pretty sick, we might want to do what? Go and see him. I spent the other day in the hospital with not a member of our church, but one whose family is a member of our church. And how important it was for that family to be around this person, and how important it was for the church to be represented there as well. And so you would think that as the word would get to Jesus, that he'd run right over there, right? Well, he wasn't really close to Bethany. And as it says in the text for today, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. But it took Jesus a couple days to get there after he heard about this. Do you think you might have been disappointed? Maybe, right? Hey, Jesus, our brother died. We need you to come, or he's very sick. Come. And he didn't come right away. It took him a couple days to get there. Because this was all a part of God's plan, just as the words that we have in the text, so from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Well, the reality is, they had those plans to put him to death, but that plan had already been set in action. That plan was a reality the day that God created the world. That plan was a reality the day Jesus was born. He was born to what? To die. And he's born to die for one purpose, that you and I might have life and have it abundantly for eternity. That's our hope. That's what gives meaning and significance to all of our lives, in all the challenges that we would face in a day-to-day way. And so as this story unfolds with this close set of friends of Jesus, Jesus reveals himself in these ways, that he is the resurrection and the life. It's the last of his I am statements. Remember, he says, I am the good shepherd, I am the door. This is, I am the resurrection and the life. And it was in giving life to Lazarus from that tomb that it instigates Jesus' earthly death. And even in this sense, Caiaphas, in these words that he said, was prophetic about what was going to happen. Notice what he said. You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. He was prompted by the Spirit of God even to say that. I don't think he saw in what Jesus was doing what we know. But I wonder, too, if Mary and Martha could comprehend what Jesus was saying. If we can imagine that scene, Martha's imagination couldn't stretch to the point of understanding that Jesus was going to bring her brother back to life. She says, oh, in the resurrection. So they believed that. And she wanted him alive right then and there, as most of us would want, right? So Jesus comes, and he gets there on the fourth day. And what happens? He says, let's go. So they go to the tomb. Now, there was a tradition that the belief was that the soul of a person hovered around the tomb for 3 days. But after 3 days, it took off to wherever it went, and the person was dead. Nothing could happen. But Jesus is there, right by the tomb with them. And he says, open up, move the stone away. And what's the response? I love that. I love the translation in the King James. He stinketh. In that moldy old tomb on the fourth day, he would begin to stink, probably on the third day even. Right? But think about that. Their worry is, hey, if we open it up, it's going to stink. But Jesus says, open it. And after a period of time, he says these words, Lazarus, come out. Do you think Mary and Martha probably thought Lazarus was going to come out? Probably not. Though they were so close to him, though they loved Jesus with their hearts. Hey, it's going to be on the day of resurrection. But Jesus reminds them what? He is the resurrection. He's the one that gives life. So, as close as Mary and Martha were to Jesus, they couldn't simply comprehend in reality who Jesus is. Which begs the question for you and for me. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Only you can answer that question. But is he the Jesus that is revealed to us in the Scriptures? Is he the Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead? Or do we, perhaps like Mary and Martha at times, know Jesus, but don't know him as the Christ, the Savior, the author and perfecter of faith and life? See, he says not, there will be resurrection and life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And because of that, we are called to live because Christ lives. We're called to live fully. We're called to live abundantly. We're called to live truly believing. We're called to live loving one another as God and Christ loved each one of us. Not because we're always so lovable. I know I'm not. Just ask my wife. You wouldn't want to be married to me. Thank God she does. Ask my kids. Ask some of you. But in the end, what? I'm loved by God. And in the end, God says, in the midst of even the things that we don't understand, we need to love one another, which doesn't mean we're always going to see things eye to eye. Doesn't mean we're always going to do things the way someone wants us to do it. But are we doing what we do out of the love for Jesus, the one who first loved us? And that's the lesson that we get here. Jesus did not say, I will be the resurrection and the life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He lived, he suffered, he died for each and every one of us in this room. Why? Because we're children of God. We share that baptismal covenant with one another. We share the imperfection of our humanity, and we also share in the joy that as Caiaphas's prophecy is fulfilled, that there is life, and life abundantly in Christ Jesus. So today, tomorrow, every day, receive the gift of life that is ours, that God breathes into us, and see it as a gift that God gives to each and every one of us. As he holds us in his arms and calls us, my precious child. He is a God of love and mercy. He is a God of forgiveness and life. He's a God who was willing to give everything in order that you and I would have life now and for eternity. So listen now as the choir sings about love and mercy from, as Jane Cramer refers to this composer, Uncle Wally, her uncle who wrote this choir anthem. Love and mercy go with thistle and thorn. God is here. Life is born. And may the peace of God, then, which passes our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith as we walk the final steps of this Lenten journey to the joy of new life in Christ. Amen. We are going to go right to the prayers of the church.